So Jesus' mother was the first to notice, as mothers often do, when the wine ran out. The first to be concerned for the guests, for the hosts, and probably for her son Jesus. The first to become the truth teller and the nudge, the one who tugs on Jesus' sleeve and pleads for Jesus' action. Curiously, Jesus dismisses his mother's request that he do something with words that his hour has not yet come. But then Jesus turns to the servants and starts giving them instructions. They carry pitchers of water to the 6 stone water jars and fill the jars to the brim. When they draw some out and take it to the steward, he swirls the glass and holds it to the light. He smells the aroma and takes a sip. As the flavors wash over his palate, he declares this to be the good stuff. The steward does not know the source of this good wine, and he cannot imagine why the bridegroom, the host of the party, would serve this excellent wine after everyone's senses are dulled, long after the toasts and the first impressions are over. The steward knows good wine when he tastes it, and he knows that something extraordinary has happened here, something that breathes new life into the party. But he has no handles for understanding it, no way to attach meaning to this surprising turn of events, no clue what to do with his stewardship. This summer, I saw a movie called Gifted, the story of a family sorting out how to be stewards of the gift of a child named Mary. Mary is a math prodigy, the daughter of a woman who crumbled under the weight of her own giftedness and committed suicide when Mary was just a baby. Mary's uncle, Frank, took custody of her, loved her, kept a humble roof over her head, and sheltered her, wanting to give her a chance at a normal life as a typical child. A life that would include play on the beach, karaoke dancing with a much-loved neighbor, and a cherished one-eyed rescue cat named Fred. Frank gives Mary love and attention. He appreciates her uniqueness without making a thing of it, and all is well. Until Mary enters first grade. It doesn't take long for Mary's teacher to catch on to her giftedness. Pretty soon, the school administration has reached out to Mary's grandmother, and then a custody battle ensues. The stewardship questions swirl like wine in the steward's glass. What shall be done with Mary's gift? Should she live with her grandmother, attend a school for gifted children, and receive all the material benefits her grandmother could provide? Or should she remain with Frank, the guardian who simply wants her to be happy and loved in life? What does faithful stewardship of Mary's gifts require? The plot thickens as we learn of the grandmother's own deferred dreams and the devastating disappointment that's haunted her since her daughter's suicide. In young Mary, she sees the hope of redemption, the possibility for the fulfillment of her dreams after all. As for Frank, he knows he's in over his head with Mary. He feels unprepared to shepherd her through life. His confidence is shaken as his love for Mary and his dogged pursuit of what he believes will serve her well-being is challenged in the courts. Frank struggles mightily with the guilt that's been with him since his sister's suicide. That he'd not been able to protect her and prevent her death weighs heavily on his heart and clouds his thinking. Perhaps we can see some of our own stewardship struggles in them. What do we do with the gifts we have been given in life? How do we manage our money and possessions, our time and abilities? How do we care for ourselves and those we love, along with those we've never even met? How do we know and do what is right, even as we deal with our own deferred dreams and disappointments, our inevitable guilt and losses of confidence? This morning, we bring our questions to the wellspring and turn to Jesus, who in the story before us is revealed to be the steward of God's generosity. When Jesus turned water into wine, it was a miracle, a sign that pointed to the glory of God now exhibited in this dramatic, extraordinary act through which the disciples and others believe in him. However, it was also a first glimpse of greater things to come, filled with signs that show us what Jesus' stewardship will look like and what it will accomplish. First, there is the sign of the water jars themselves. John tells us that the water jars were intended for the Jewish rites of purification. However, by the time of Jesus, many of the rituals and religious expressions of Judaism had been emptied of their original intent as a container for the people's prayers and for their practices of faith. Judaism was not serving the people well. And so Jesus' ministry would challenge the empty rituals and bring vitality to the ancient religion through his teaching, preaching, and healing. And as people listened to him, as they followed him, as they received the well-being he offered, everything changed not only for Judaism, but for them as well. The water jars, now filled with wine, are a sign that the transformation Jesus brings will give life and produce joy, so that all people and all creation may celebrate and delight in the goodness, love, and justice of an extravagantly generous God. Which brings us to the sign of the good wine. This one harkens back to Genesis 1, where we are told that God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. God created the sun, moon, and stars, and it was good. God created plants and animals, birds and fish, and it was good. God created humankind, and we are good. Right. God creates a world of incredible beauty and abundance and calls it good. And now here comes Jesus taking ordinary water and making it wine. And what does the steward call it? Good. This, friends, is a sign of the new creation. In Jesus, God will continue to create. God will recreate. In Jesus, God will give again and again in life and in death. From the cross to the grave to the sky, until everything and everyone is healed and reconciled. Today, we hear this story of potent generosity in the context of tremendous needs in our world. And we hear it as stewards ourselves, as people who must ask ourselves, moment by moment, day after day, what does faithful stewardship of God's gifts look like in my life? For many of us, this question brings up conflicting emotions. We want to be faithful, but it's not always clear how. We want to be generous, but when it comes to managing money, it's hard not to worry about the wine running out. Let's hold these questions and emotions as we now watch a brief clip from the movie Gifted. We're going to see Mary on the other side of a bit of an emotional meltdown. She's been confused and heartbroken about the grown-ups in her life as they bicker about how to be the stewards of her gifts, until this happens.
Said so.
Friends, the world is waiting for us to wake up to the new life God is always creating. And perhaps this ultimately is what all the signs are pointing toward today, that we are given life from the wellspring of a generous God who delights in us and in all of creation. Our stewardship begins with our sharing in the wonder of this miracle and our entering into the joyous celebration it makes possible. But it doesn't end there. In fact, the end, the purpose of everything God has given, comes into view in the sign of the wine steward of our story today, whose job it is to take care of the guests. It's not our party, but we get to be the ones that recognize and recommend the good stuff that came into this world in Jesus. We get to allow the abundant gifts of God to flow through our hearts and our hands on their way to fill and bless somebody else. We get to make sure that all the guests have a good time in this party called life, and in the process, we get to experience a bottomless, never-exhausted cycle of generosity pouring out and filling up over and over again. So, what does faithful stewardship of God's gifts look like in your life? We'll be exploring that question over the next 3 weeks in worship. And we'll be hearing from members of Crossroads who will give their unique perspectives on this question from their life stories. The first of whom is Bill Hoover, who would like to share a story with you now.